Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
I'd like to start talking to us on what I titled supernatural empowerment. And I'd like you to know that the essence of power is work. There will be no need for power if there is no task to be done. God does not empower for fun. God empowers for a task. Until there is a job to be accomplished, there is no use and there is no need for power. Power is the energy released to accomplish a task. In physics, we were taught that power is a product of force and distance. When there is a force and when a distance is covered, power is at work. And on the earth, God releases power for divine work to be accomplished. And those who operate at the realm of the earth, they understand the place of power. And that's why when a man becomes big, when a man becomes rich, the next thing he looks for is power, because it is power that sustains a man in the place of abundance. If you have so much and you don't have power, it's a matter of time you are going to become too little. Because it is power that keeps you up. It is power that sustains you. The reason God is still God is because he has power. He prevails by his power. And this kingdom is the kingdom of power. Powerlessness in this kingdom is signing up for slavery. Powerlessness in this kingdom is signing up voluntarily for slavery. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples, don't go anywhere. Tarry in Jerusalem. You have gone to Bible school, but tarry in Jerusalem. You have been under a good father, but tarry in Jerusalem. I know you have been to the seminary, but tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power. Until you are empowered, don't go. Because if you go without power, Pharaoh will use you for a mincemeat. Tarry until power comes. And those men waited. For 1 day, for 2 days, for 3 days, for 4 days, 5 days, until the 10th day. And the Bible says, suddenly, there was a mighty rushing wind. And there was a sound from heaven. And it blew into the house where 120 of them were gathered. And the Holy Ghost came upon each of them like a cloven tongue of fire. And then they began speaking in other language as the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't just a language, it was an empowerment. So speaking in tongues is not for show. Speaking in tongues is actually a signal that power has entered. Unfortunately, today people speak in tongues and don't generate power. And that's why this year, you must not be empty. God said, when I speak, they are for war. Wherever the word of a king is, there is power. So I want to look at supernatural empowerment. If there is no work, then you don't have need for power. What is empowerment? Empowerment simply means enablement. What allows you to do something? Empowerment. People go to school to be empowered, to be relevant in the society. That's why we go to school, so we can be empowered mentally, so we can be up to speed with what is happening within our ecosystem. So empowerment is simply an enablement. So when we talk about supernatural empowerment, we are talking about a supernatural enablement. God being behind somebody's success story. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. You allow me to paraphrase some of the verses. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And Samuel took a vial of oil. Somewhere along the line, I'll begin to tell you about the instrument of power in the kingdom of, and one of them is the oil. In church, we don't pour people oil just to make their face shine. We pour people oil just to put something in their spirit. I've told us before that when you go to school, your teacher will put something in your head. When you go to work, your boss will put something in your pocket. When you come to church, your pastor puts something in your spirit. Amen. So in school, we receive something into our head. At work, we receive something into our pocket. In church, we receive something in our spirit. And what you have in your spirit is the real deal. Because the spirit of a man will sustain him in the day of his infirmity, not his bank account. The spirit of a man. And this year, God will put something in somebody's spirit here. Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Now, see what happens after this empowerment. "When thou art departed from me today, thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto you, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found." You see, when divine empowerment comes, success comes without struggle. And I pray for someone this year, under the influence of my voice, that the power from on high shall enable you to find the things that you couldn't find for many years. Power. If you are the one, let your amen be louder than your neighbor's. "They will say unto thee, what you have been looking for is found." This year, if you allow me, let me prophesy over you. People will not tell you sorry, but they will tell you what you are looking for has been found. Aliaparana. Hey! After the oil came on his head, he said, "You will meet two men." The news they will break will not be a bad news. They will tell you, "Finally, the job has been gotten. Finally, you have been healed. Finally, the breakthrough has come." The scripture said in verse 3, "Then shall thou go further." Somebody say, "I will go forward." Somebody shouted, "I will go forward." "Then shall thou go on forward." Nobody carries power and stay backward. When power comes, it's upward and forward. And I pray for someone here. Backward never, forward forever. There is a power that pushes men to the front. You didn't want to go, but something greater than you pushed you. You thought you were not qualified, but something bigger than you pushed you. You thought you couldn't make it, but something bigger than you pushed you. He said, "Then thou shalt go forward." And when you go forward, the Bible says, "Thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel. One carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread." He said, all this mathematics happened because power came on a man. He left his father's house and wandered for days. Nobody asked him, "Where are you looking for?" He was the one busy asking people, "Have you by any chance seen some kind of asses? We are looking for it." They said, "No, we have not seen. If you go to that mountain, you may find." And he went and checked, he couldn't find. They checked everywhere, they couldn't find, and they were frustrated coming back home. And then they said, "Is there any man of God here?" They said, "There is one in the name Samuel." They said, "Let's go meet him." When he went, something came upon his head. They didn't change his clothes, but something came upon his head. He didn't change his shoe, but something came upon his head. His location didn't change, but something came upon his head. And when that thing came upon his head, he was no longer the one asking questions. People were asking him questions. They said, "They will salute you." This year, may it be a year of salutation for somebody. You know when the angel entered Mary's house, the Bible says he saluted Mary. And Mary wondered at that kind of salutation. Because all her life, she has never been saluted like that before. I pray for someone here. May this year be a year of honorable salutation. Salutation. Hail Mary, blessed art thou amongst women. And Mary wondered at such a salutation from a being that is not common on the earth. And when the conversation ensued, she became the mother of the Messiah. He said, they will salute you and they will give you. I pray somebody this month, may you be given. I said, may you be given in the name of Jesus. They will give you. They will give you. And on, you will go on. And the Bible says, where is the garrison of the Philistines? And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets. By divine empowerment, God brings you in contact. You will meet two persons. You will meet three men. The first two people, they will salute you. The next three men, they will give you. And then you will meet again a company of prophets. You see, when the power of God comes upon a man, when God decides to support a man, he makes contact for you. He creates scenarios and atmospheres for you. God himself is creating the system for you. He said, you will meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. That's my emphasis. They shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. As I am talking now, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon some persons. They shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shall prophesy with them. And I like the next line. And thou shall be turned into another man. That's what biology calls metamorphosis. A complete alteration of the former shape. Thou shall be turned. You shall be metamorphosed. There's going to be a different version out of you. Somebody say, I will be turned. Oh, let me hear you. Somebody shout it, I will be turned. He said, you shall be turned into another man. There is a reality of another. You see, there is a fashion that is better than this current version that you have. And that is what God wants to do. Turn into another man. And then verse 7, the last. And the Bible says, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 to verse 35. 1 Samuel 17, 33 to 35. Supernatural empowerment. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against these Philistines to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. There are two objects here, the it and the him. Two objects of emphasis here, the it and the him. He said, I was keeping my father's sheep, and there arose a lion. By grammar, the lion is supposed to be identified or described as it. But there arose a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now look at verse 35. And I went out after him. It wasn't a lion, it was a him. But he came in the form of a lion. Because this scripture is talking about a sheep, a flock, a people, a destiny. And it's talking about a lion. First Peter, for the enemy, the devil is walking about like a roaring lion seeking for whom to devour.
And he said, I went after him.
I didn't go after it. I wasn't fighting a lion. When you see a dog chasing you in a dream, you are not battling with a dog. You are wrestling with a spirit.
And you must understand that the battle is not against a dog. When you see snake chasing you in a dream, the battle is not about a snake because you are not a snake. There is a him behind that it. And David said, I went after him.
Today, may God empower you to go after him.
Because a lot of people are going after the it.
And so you will kill many lions and your problems still remain. Because it is not in it, it is in him.
The problem is not in it. The problem is not in the cat that came and cried by your window. No, the problem is not in the cat that is moving on your ceiling. There is a him that is behind the movement. When the him is arrested, the motion ceases. I went after him. I went after him. I went after him. Every him that is behind my tears, I am going after him.
I went after him.
I went after him.
And he said, and I delivered it. This is where it came. I went after him and delivered it out of his mouth. Father, in the name that is above all names, if there is anyone here, if there's any business here, if there's any marriage here, if there is any health here that's already in the mouth of the lion, I come in the name of Jesus and I rescue that business. I rescue that man. I rescue that child. I rescue that marriage. I rescue that destiny out of the mouth of that lion. Hear me? By the power of God, you can actually take the prey from the lion's mouth. Shall the prey be delivered? Shall the prey of the mighty be delivered? He said, yeah, the prey of the mighty shall be delivered. Even the lawful captive shall be delivered. I will contend with those that contend with thee, and I will save your children. I prophesy over you right now. Whatever has taken that which belongs to you, I command that mouth of lion to open and let it drop for you in the name of Jesus. He said, I rescued it. Remember that Saul, an experienced battle man, said to David, you are not able. You are a small boy. You can't fight a man. In the world setting, boys don't fight men. But when the power of God comes upon a boy, he can bring a man down. Boys don't challenge men. Because men are men. Men are grown-up boys. Why boys are potential men? So, when a boy wants to challenge a man to a fight, he's already starting from a defeatist side. Because the age of the man, the experience of the man, is already such an advantage that you can't comprehend. And so Saul said to David, you are a youth, but he is a man. And he's been a man of war right from when he was a small boy. And David said, let me tell you a story that I've never told anybody before. Some weeks ago, I was keeping my father's sheep. I was going about my business and the lion came and took one of my father's sheep. He thought because I was a small boy that he could mess around with me. But he didn't know that I was carrying the power of the ancient. He thought because I was a small boy, he could mess around with me. He didn't know that the presence of the one that matters most in the universe was with me. So he came and messed with my father's sheep. I went after him. I said, I'm not going to run away from you. After this year, you don't run away from problems. Problems run away from you. You hear me? Yeah. Because there are some of you that have run away from your villages. After this year, the Holy Ghost will so empower you that when you enter, witches will take a leave. I mean, they will go on transfer. You don't know what I'm talking about. Supernatural empowerment is not by size, it's not by gender, it's not by age, it's not by experience, it's not by education. It's by the coming of the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power, not cash. You shall receive power, not clothing. You shall receive power, not shoes. You shall receive power, not pictures. You shall receive power, not oil. You shall receive power, not Bible. You shall receive power, not grammar. And you shall receive power. Not after you are true from Bible school. Somebody say, I hear. You shall receive power, not after you have been given certificate. Bible school is good. I love it. You shall receive power, not after you have had a master's degree. I love education. You shall receive power, not after you've gone to Asurok, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. When it comes, whether you are educated or not, power comes. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and then you shall witness unto me in your own city, Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in the utmost part of the earth. I want to read two more scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, the Spirit of God is actually the custodian of God's power. Everywhere the Spirit of God enters, there's a show, there's a manifestation. That's why the Spirit doesn't enter anywhere and the place is quiet. When the Spirit enters, there's a noise. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Friends, there is an anointing to minister to the poor. It takes an anointing. And I pray for every minister of God here that you will have this dimension of the anointing. This scripture gives us dimensions of the anointing. There's a dimension of the anointing you carry. And you can treat poverty matter. He has anointed me to preach to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Because in Zion, there are people whose hearts are broken. And there must be an anointing to treat their matter. In Zion, we don't only have good people. Can I let you know that the church is like an hospital that has different kinds of health challenges. And the best hospitals is where you see worst cases. When you go to the best hospitals in town, you will see worst cases. That's how the church is. So there are those whose hearts are broken. It are broken by relationship, broken by failure, broken by stagnation, broken by sickness. He said, he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive. Because even in church, there are captives. You don't deceive yourself. There are men who are captives in church. And so there are people that don't believe in the message of deliverance. And I said, don't worry, until you meet the devil face to face one day, you will look for deliverance yourself. Ah, there is nothing like deliverance. Go, when the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. Don't worry. Don't worry. The day that you will start seeing something in your dream and you don't sleep for 3 nights, you'll be the one to preach the message of deliverance. And Jesus said, there are people who are captives. And we bring deliverance to them. Recovering of sight to those who are blind. And to set at liberty those who are bruised. Look at verse 19. And then he went on to say, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 6. We are going to pray a prayer from here very quickly. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 6. Then went down Samson. And his father and his mother. This is a family taking a trip, taking a journey. Just like you and your wife and your children. You have just started a journey to Timnath. And he came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. I am on a journey. I want to go marry. And a young lion roared against him. What is the use? Why is that lion coming? This journey must be truncated. You can't continue to the end. Some person saw the lions and marriage ended. Saw the lions and the building stopped. When the lion roared, progress came to a halt. When the lion showed up, the things they were planning came to a halt. He said, a young lion, myself, my mother, my father, we are going on a journey, and a young lion showed up and roared against him. But look at verse 6. It wasn't his education. And the Spirit of the Lord again. The Spirit of the Lord. Hear me! If the Spirit of the Lord does not come, lions will mess you up. The lions of witches and wizards, occultic lions, they will mess you up. But I love God. Because every time something bigger than your natural power comes, He sends the supernatural.
And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And see what happened. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, the Bible says, he rent him again. Lion is being referred to him. Check your Bible very well. Every time he talks about the lion, he's referring to him. And he rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Lift up your two hands. I pray for those hands today. In the name that is above all name, let the power of God hold your hand, and let that hand accomplish too much this year. Keep it down. I like you in your seated position to declare, any lion that has roared against me, I command you to go down right now. There is a journey everyone wants to go to, but I'd like you to know that there are lions on the way. You know, someone wrote a song and said, though the lion may be on the way to hinder, God is able to give us victory. We are able to go forward and claim the mountains, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the lions may be on our way to hinder, God is able to give us victory. I'd like you to raise your voice and begin to declare, every lion roaring against me, I knock you down now. Can you open your mouth and pray? Don't let that lion row against you. Zapara toshataya. Your father, your mother, your children. If that lion succeed, it will affect your father, your mother. It will affect your children's education. Let that lion not succeed. Lord, let it not succeed. Parata paragadaya. Samson, if I was alone, maybe I will run away. But this lion, my father is here, my mother is here. I've got to do something about this lion. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In the name of Jesus. You know, I'm sure that if Samson was alone, he would have found a way, maybe to run away from the lion. But he had his father and his mother. If I run, can my father run? So we need to deal with this thing once and for all. And that day, he killed that lion. Let me show you another prayer point you pray there. Look at Judges 14, 8 and 9. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Verse 9 is our prayer point. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. Oh God, put honey in my hand. The Bible says when he came, he saw in the dead body of the lion a swarm of bees. And he took the honey out of the carcass. This year, out of nothing, God will bring sweet for you. Out of the dead body of the lion. The Bible says he took in his hand a honey. Everybody open your hand. Lord, put sweetness in my hand this year. I'd like you to pray that prayer. Lord, I receive honey in my hand. Something sweet. The Bible says he took it on his hand and he went on eating. He went on eating. This year, God will put something in your hand that will enable you to eat. He went on eating. Out of nothing came out something. He went on eating. Lord, in my hand, I will have what to eat. Thank you, Abba Father. Oh, we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Room of Mercy, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual, and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows: Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m., School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m., prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m., lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.